I'm good.
Joining us right now is Joe Mosey, and he is the star of My Life as a Sitcom, Sunday night at 7:30 on the ABC Family Network, of course. And this is a great show. We've been following it, actually. You were one of the families that was on last year, and then they decided to can your entire family but keep you and have you find a new family.
That's correct.
What a great concept. So you've been going around the country finding a new family, and now you went to Vegas to find a wife.
Oh, I did, yes.
Yeah.
My whole life, all I've ever been with is the girl that's gone to bed at 9:30. So I decided for my TV show, I'm going to go for a girl who's gone wild.
Well, you certainly succeeded in that angle. Now, did you grab a showgirl? Was that what you grabbed?
As the final pick?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I had to audition 100 girls and narrow it down to 5.
Oh, okay,
and,
so because I saw one of them, one of the showgirls. I wasn't that. She's not that hot, in my opinion. So I was hoping you didn't end up with her. But of course,
I did end up with her. But she, yeah. Boy, she could really lift her legs.
She was very flexible, and I give her that.
Yes.
That absolutely is a good point. But here's the interesting thing, though. And from what I can see, I mean, she's not going to be actually a wife except on TV. So it didn't really matter, actually. I mean, I don't think your wife in real life is going to be thrilled with her actually acting as a real wife in on TV. So it really doesn't matter.
She was definitely a little concerned. Obviously, more so than any other part of the trip.
She's, yeah.
You know, I think what happens is, you know, she was kind of freaking out. Like, well, people are going to start associating you with this TV wife. Like, you know, she wanted to have final say in who I got to choose. But we didn't give her that.
No, I don't blame you. You're a very funny guy. I was just reading this great book. It's called Hire Me, Dumbass, Serious Inquiries Only. It's one of the funniest things I've ever read.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
And it's available at lifeofjoe.com, and it's a very, very funny book. These are actually real letters you sent out to companies that you obviously didn't want to get hired by.
these letters, this was never, ever meant to be a book. These letters were written just out of the frustration of not being, you know, responded to in a desperate search for a real job. And I just, at one point, I said, well, you know, screw this. I've got to have a laugh. I've got to have some fun with this. And, you know, I just started writing the absolute most ridiculous cover letters I could imagine just to get a reply, just to get a rejection, really.
Now, the funniest thing is the stationery you used, did it actually say on it, unemployed marketing professional?
Absolutely. Those letters are, if you notice in the beginning of the book, in the introduction, I actually, you know, I even left the typos in the letters.
Yeah.
You know, just to show these were really sent, just like they're printed.
Yeah, unfortunately for me, at one point in my life, I was unemployed for a little time, and I sent out a ton of letters that were very good, and I got the same collection of rejections you did.
But see, that's the beauty, Mark. I mean, here I am just totally, you know, playing the fool, and I'm getting the same replies to someone who's legitimately trying to get a job.
Exactly.
Clearly, they didn't read my letter. I mean, why would you send me a form letter back telling me that I'm extremely qualified for a position at Carvel, and my letter is basically saying that I might have turned a Carvel employee into a lesbian?
Right.
It's just silly. They obviously didn't, you know, care about me.
Yeah, I like it. There's actually a series of to one company where you said the enclosed is a resume and cover letter, and then the next one saying, hopefully I've now enclosed the resume and cover letter. And the next one you said, well, as you can see, I've screwed it up, but, you know, I hope you'll now consider, me rescinding my application. So it was very, very funny. This is great stuff. I enjoyed this.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So you bring this into now you're kind of like doing comedy acting. So you're a very versatile unemployed guy.
I've made a career out of not working, apparently.
Yeah. Now your wife, I assume she's a career person?
My wife is a Chinese brush painting teacher.
Really?
She's an artist, yes. Now, I said brush. A lot of people hear breast for some reason.
No, I didn't hear that because I never think like that at all.
Okay, good. But she's a Chinese brush painting artist.
So she does breast painting. Okay, I heard it, yeah.
Yeah, she does. Unfortunately, you know, there's not that big of a demand for brush painting.
Mm.
But so we don't actually get to earn a... We don't pay the mortgage on that salary, let's put it that way.
Yeah, so now what salary do you pay the mortgage on?
We pay the mortgage on the 401k dwindling savings retirement salary.
Uh-huh.
You know, I certainly got paid for this last show, but we're scrambling for the next gig.
You know, it's interesting when My Life is a Sitcom came to Boston to I know that you guys had one opening. I was actually asked to try out for that part.
Oh, were you really?
By the producers, one of them who's a friend of mine. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. I couldn't commit to doing something like this. But it would have been kind of fun, though.
Oh, it was definitely a blast. I have to tell you, the Boston people were absolutely outstanding. Greatest city. You know, it takes a lot of guts to come on down there when you're not a trained actor. And just, you don't know what's going to happen. It's a risk. And I think the Boston people really set the show off on such a high standard that we had to keep to that for the rest of the, you know, the 8 weeks on the road. So
right.
Thanks, Boston, yeah.
I want to say thanks to Susan Johnston for giving me a call for that. But sorry I couldn't come for that. So then you went to Cleveland and Chicago and Nashville and Dallas and then ended up in Las Vegas. How did the casting go? Did you end up getting pretty much what you were looking for?
Not always. On the way to Cleveland, I was supposed to cast my two boys. I have a 5- and a 3-year-old at home, and they're hockey players. And Hollywood decided that I should have a daughter. It would be better for their demographic for the ABC Family Channel. So I said, okay. And you know, we auditioned a bunch of girls, and I don't have a daughter, so I don't know what to look for. And then I said, well, you know what, if Hollywood's going to screw me, I'm going to screw them back. And I asked the casting agent to go out and find me a hockey player daughter.
Uh-huh.
And it ended up being perfect. I've bonded with her most of all the cast members. We still communicate today.
Really?
Today. Cleveland, Chicago, I went to pick my best friend, and I ended up with this guy who is just so irritating. I picked him because he's a big character, and that's what they were hoping that I would pick. But he's Romanian. He doesn't really have a grasp of English, and he, for some reason, he thinks I picked him to actually be my best friend. And this guy calls me like 3 times a day to the point where I actually had to say to him, look, you know, Stefan, I don't think we can be friends anymore. You know, we did the show, but, you know, my wife doesn't call me as much as you do. You've got to let go, dude. So, but pretty much I'm happy with all of the picks. The wife pick this Sunday, I should just say, if nobody's actually followed the show, these next 3 episodes are the best to watch because the wife that I pick on Sunday, there's some serious drama that happens on the April 18th episode, the following episode. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, this is one of those things where it didn't work out at all like I thought. So, for the most part, the casting was good, but there were definitely a couple of
glitches there, huh?
Yeah, big glitches.
So the glitch on display on Sunday at 7:30 on ABC's great show. It's called My Life as a Sitcom. It's a very funny concept, and they've taken it one step. What did you think when I guess you got chucked off the first season, you lost the competition.
Mark, I got voted off in the first, like, 3 days of the show.
I remember that, actually, because I actually followed the show, and you were gone pretty quickly, and then were you shocked when you got a call and said, hey, we want you, but we don't want the rest of your family?
I was very shocked, but, you know, in fact, that's not how it happened. They called me up because of my website, thelifeofjoe.com. They liked the fact of me being involved with my family, and the original concept that they wanted me to do for the second season was to travel across country in an RV with my family,
mm-hmm.
and choose the next family. And I just said, you know, I can't take my family on an 8-week cross country journey. You know, we'll end up killing ourselves.
Yeah, real families can't do that.
No, real families cannot do that. So I actually fired them. But to their delight, I mean, my family really has no interest in doing this stuff as much as I force them into it.
Neither of your children, neither of the boys wanted to come and be part of it either?
My three-year-old, I think, it would be a great show. Just me traveling across country with my three-year-old.
Uh-huh.
My five-year-old has no interest. He wants to be a, you know, paleontologist. He tells me every Sunday we watch the show, he goes, I don't think this show is funny at all. I don't like it. So, so obviously five-year-old boys are not the demographic for
yeah.
this.
Now, do your 3 and 5-year-olds whack each other around?
They beat the heck out of each other.
Yeah, because I have two kids who do the same. And so trying to go for any kind of lengthy trip is kind of suicidal.
No, I can't even go to the video store with them. I don't know how I would make it across, 3,000 miles of America.
Mm.
It's incredible. I call them Cain and Abel. I don't even call them by their names because they're constantly trying to kill each other. You know what their relationship is? Their relationship, the second the both of them are in the house together, they become, Inspector Clouseau and Cato. Their whole motivation is to try to ambush the other person and take them down. So, yeah, that would have been a difficult journey. But I have to tell you, albeit hilarious.
Tell me about the table reads and the original, writing and stuff and how the cast fit into the whole thing.
In the final episode, it's important to know that what's happening is all the people that I pick, we fly out to Hollywood, and the seventh episode, which will be on April 18th, we live in a bed and breakfast, and it's taped. And that's where we kind of get to know each other as if we are a real family. You know, there's a lot of dynamics involved and some relationships and bonding. And then in the eighth episode, we do the table read. And that was, interesting because, nobody had ever done anything like that. I mean, certainly, I've done my share of improv and comedy and plays and sketches, but nothing in a sense of, making a TV sitcom.
Mm.
So that's where it kind of hit home. Like, the scary thing about the table read was we were given the scripts 2 days before the live taping.
Mm.
And I think that's a big enough of a burden. It's a 35-page script. It's a big enough of a burden for professional, trained actors to pull off, let alone people who've, pretty much just kind of met each other three days earlier.
I understand they also kind of recreated your house in Connecticut.
Yeah, wow. See, that is so not true, Mark. No? I don't know where they got that information from. I wish I had a house remotely like that. My in-laws live in a one-bedroom apartment, and I live in a ranch with no upstairs whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
And it's a three-bedroom ranch with 1.5 bathrooms. So
they just improved your property, that's all.
Yeah, I would love to live on that set. But certainly that is nothing to do with my lifestyle, believe me.
See, now they claim in all the publicity stuff here that it's a recreation of your home. See, it says, production designers and carpenters have already created a set that looks like the Mosey and family Connecticut home.
Yeah, well, clearly whoever wrote that has not been to my home.
They were probably only on the set, and they said, hey, this has got to be where Joe lives.
I think it probably, just judging by the characters that I've chosen for the show, Lisa Jo, who I picked to be my mother-in-law, it seems like that is what her house in Nashville looks like.
Yeah,
but I'll never know.
Now you actually got to parade before the judges for folks who weren't watching last year, and I actually interviewed some of the judges. You had Maureen McCormick, Dave Coulier, and David Faustino was the judges. That must have been kind of fun.
I was never in front of them. I guess they watched videotape.
Yeah, well, they did knock you out of there, so
yes.
That's right. You didn't get to see them, but they
no.
saw you.
Well, the thing that was great is Dave Coulier loved me. He said he thought I was a sitcom star waiting to happen or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, he did, yeah.
Dave Faustino did as well. Maureen McCormick did not like me or the story, or I shouldn't say that because that's putting words into her mouth, but I think she liked the family that came after me, which was a single mom with three children scenario.
Yeah.
And Maureen McCormick, let's face it, she was everybody's fantasy growing up, and I think she somehow swayed Dave Coulier and Dave Faustino with her Marcia Brady charm. So, but I ended up getting the sitcom out of the deal, so I'm not complaining.
Well, Well, it sounds like a good deal, and everybody can watch you 7:30 on ABC Family Sunday night, and it's going to start getting real good, so folks should be tuning in to watch the show. And Joe Mozien is the star of the show. You'll be watching him. He's Joe. You know, you'll see him when you watch the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, Mark, thank you. I had a blast.
Hey, good luck, and you got a new career now. You're actually working now.
I'm actually working. Yes, I am.
Got to ruin your whole reputation.
Well, I'm not working right now. I'm looking for the next gig.
There you go. Take care. I love the book, by the way, Hire Me, Dumbass. Yeah, you can check it out over at lifeofjoe.com. Nice to talk to you.
Same here, Mark. Thank you, Boston.
Bye-bye.
Bye.